Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MB Om podcast. My name's Amanda and I'm your host for this podcast. If you're new to the podcast, I'm so excited that you're joining us for today's episode. Of course, if you've been listening for a while, welcome back for another episode. Before we dive into today's interview, I wanted to talk a little bit about Yoga Business Badasses. It's the private Facebook community that I have over on Facebook. It's 750 members and growing quickly, and it's a really supportive community where we talk about a lot of things business related. So I wanted to share a little bit about what has been going on in Yoga Business Badasses this week. So every week there's a prompt that's from me, and this week's prompt was about challenges that you're having in your yoga business. So we talked about a lot of different things: attracting new students without a big advertising budget, finding places to teach as a new yoga teacher, filling workshops and events that are coming up. I definitely feel that one. Finding paid teaching opportunities in a saturated market, and preventing burnout. So I'm not going to go into depth about the answers around that, but if you do want to pop on over to Yoga Business Badasses and share some things that you're experiencing, you're definitely more than welcome. It's a really supportive community. People are asking all sorts of questions that they're struggling with in their business. And also, we help each other celebrate wins, which is pretty great. So head on over to facebook.com/groups/yoga-business-badasses if you're interested in joining. And before we dive into the interview for this week, a big thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, Fave Yogis. If you've been listening for a while, you know they've been sponsoring the podcast for a while. And I'm so grateful for them sponsoring the show because it allows me to continue making episodes. But it's also really great because they're offering an amazing free service for you guys. And here's why I love Fave Yogis so much. The Fave Yogis app puts control and freedom in your hands. You can update your class schedule, offer your own classes anywhere, anytime, and get paid all from your phone. No more updating your schedule in multiple places and paying a ton of money each month for a software platform where students might stumble across your classes. Students simply open Fave Yogis and your schedule will be there. On top of being able to send students notifications about class updates, set prices and ticket availability, and auto-send reminders to your students, you can also post workshops and events that allow you to reach organic traffic through the search feature that you may never have been able to reach through simply putting the events on your website. Head on over to the App Store on your smartphone and download Fave Yogis for free. It's FAVYOGIS, and when you sign up, make sure you use code MBOM, and let them know that I sent you. All right, now on to today's guest episode. I am so excited to be joined by Nate Guadagni from Bow Yoga. And on today's episode, we're talking about building your email newsletter. Somebody asked me a little while back if email newsletters were dead, and I absolutely do not think that they are. I think that it's becoming more of a crowded market because a lot of people are doing it. But just like teaching yoga, there's always ways to stand out. So on this episode, Nate talks about how to get a big list of 1,000 people or more, the keys to offering a great gift. He talks about ways to get people to open your newsletter and ways to just kind of nurture the people once they're actually on the list, because getting them on the list is only half of it. So this episode is packed with a ton of great information. So if you're driving and you can't take notes, definitely make sure you head on over to the show notes and check all that stuff out. So without further ado, here's Nate. I'm very excited to be joined on the podcast today by Nate Guadagni from Bow Yoga. Welcome to the podcast today, Nate.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here, Amanda.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you here. We've got an awesome topic today, or at least I think it's awesome, and I think you think it's awesome.
Absolutely.
But before we dive into talking all about newsletters and how to get your list growing and active, I'm curious if you could tell me a little bit about how you got into yoga.
Sure. So I got into yoga about 13 years ago, and I was looking for a job at the time, and I wandered into a yoga studio, and I met the teacher there, and I was blown away. She was an incredible person, and she just became my mentor. I just knew from that moment that I found my teacher. And so I started training there, and soon after started working there. And then soon after left school and my track to become an Oriental medicine doctor to become a yoga studio manager and full-time teacher. And that's what I've been doing for, that's what I did for about 10 years. And then I started creating a blend of yoga and Qigong and a new prop that I developed. And that's what I call Bo Yoga. And I left the company in 2015, and I've been doing Bo Yoga full time ever since.
Wow, that's so cool. What a story. And I feel like, I mean, you condensed that so quickly, but I'm sure that was just like probably a really, really epic journey along the way.
That's right. Yeah, it really was. The style of yoga that I was learning was from Korea. So they included yoga, Qigong, Oriental medicine, meditation. It was really a spiritual path. It was, you know, a physical practice. It was a community. I was just wanting something that I could dive in, you know, full on. And I was, you know, doing management. So I was learning a lot about business and a lot about working with people. And so I kind of had everything I needed, you know, to start my own business, which as a lot of people realize when they become yoga entrepreneurs, the skills in yoga and the skills in business are sometimes very different. And that's one thing that I've learned is a lot of yoga teachers are super talented and genuine, and they're so good at what they do, but they really struggle with the business part. And I've always loved that part, and I've always found myself sharing the things that I've done, and people find it helpful. So I'm really happy to share some things that have helped me grow the business side of my yoga too.
Yeah, definitely. You and I are definitely alike. I've always really enjoyed the business side too. I'm like, why don't people want to do these things? They're like lead pages, marketing campaigns, Facebook. I don't want to do this crap. I'm like, I'll do it for you. but yeah, before we dive into email newsletters, can you tell me a little bit about maybe the sort of top business lessons that you sort of learned along the way?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I remember just being kind of thrown into it because like with this yoga company, actually a lot of there wasn't really a business training. Everybody was kind of learning, you know, by trial and error. And so one day, you know, I took on a new role as a assistant manager. And I had no clue what I was doing. So I just had to learn. So I just went to like FedEx and found all the business books there. And just like went online and just started teaching myself. And, you know, it's amazing how much you can learn just by research. I mean, everything's out there. And I think people get stuck, you know, trying to get it all right. But if you just put in a little bit of time and research, you can figure out anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It definitely is the idea of getting it, like kind of finding that balance between getting it right and just getting it out there and kind of learning from what you put out there and what you do.
Yeah, because like you're saying, you know, what business tips? I mean, there's a trillion. So it's like, I wouldn't recommend like learning all about business and then, you know, trying to apply it. I would say like figure out what you want to do and what your goals are. And then just learn the one thing you need to take that one step forward. So it's like, you know, okay, I want to create a brochure. You don't need to go to get an MBA. Like, you know, you can just find out, okay, like Google that and then figure it out and do that. And then your next project will come in. So I'm really into like learning in bite-sized pieces rather than getting overwhelmed and trying to be an expert all at once.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And coming from somebody who has a business degree, I mean, the amount of things that I've Googled that I'm like, oh, right, I have some small slice of memory of actually learning this in school, but like I completely regurgitated it for a test and then forgot about it. It's crazy the amount of times it's happened.
Yeah, but I mean, education is important because I think you learn those skills and you kind of have the confidence that like, oh, like I can learn anything and it's possible. I mean, I think you know, if that's the number one business skill, I think is like having confidence that you can learn anything you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with that. That's a great one. And I think a good, you know, piece of information for people to carry with them, like remember that you don't need to know it all at once and you can figure things out as it comes up for you. That's like how I started doing website design, and I'm by no means a website designer, but I do have website design skills. It was just, you know, making my own website like 5 years ago and just being like, okay, I know this piece of information, like, what do I need to know now? Google search, watch a video, read a couple articles, watch, you know, find some images of it, piece that together. I'm like, okay, now I know that. Continue going on. Oh, okay, now I've run into another roadblock, and continue to do that until I'm like, okay, I've got some skills and now I know how to do this.
Yeah, for sure. And like more than ever, I mean, like your podcast, there's so many resources out there that we can get super specific, you know, about those little things. So, and there's coaches, you know, there's people like if I started out and I had a bit of money, you know, I could have saved a lot of time just hiring somebody to say, can you do this for me? And then, you know, I could have saved a bunch of time. But if you don't have money and you've got the time and energy, you know, you can absolutely figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I'm curious, there's probably some people out there wondering, what exactly is the prop that you developed with Bow Yoga?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I was into yoga and Qigong, and it's Qigong is a an ancient Chinese health martial art movement system, kind of like Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. And we use bow staffs. And that's where the name Bow Yoga came from. Bow is a staff, you know, a piece of wood. And originally it's a martial art weapon, right? And I was teaching a class and I didn't want my students to hurt themselves. So I developed a prop, like a staff that's padded and lightweight and flexible. And we started using it and I found you could use it for so many things with yoga. And it's like in yoga, you know, you've got your block, you've got your strap, your blanket, your bolster. But the staff, it's about 5 feet tall, it's about an inch round, and it helps people hold on to it for balance. You can use it for alignment. In Qigong, there's a lot of joint rotations, and I've really adopted those into Bow Yoga. So I found it's a really gentle, safe, accessible system, and it's really perfect for people over 50, you know, those who aren't interested in handstands or turning into a pretzel, but they just want to become healthier and they want to feel better. It's been a perfect prop for the boomers, especially.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I think that more and more people are kind of, like in the Western world for sure, are adopting Qigong a little bit more, being more open to trying it. It's something that with one of the yoga studios that I work with, we've started doing a regular class and people are really liking it. They've been really open to it and it's been really successful for the last couple of months. And it's something that I just am seeing sprinklings of it more and more.
Yeah, it's so compatible with yoga and even philosophy wise. You know, in yoga philosophy, they talk about the pranamaya kosha, the energy body. But besides pranayama, there aren't really a lot of practices. I'd say Kundalini has the most of all the styles, but there aren't a lot of practices where you really tangibly feel the energy and move it around like you do in Qigong, and it's so compatible. One thing also I wanted to say about the prop, you know, staves have been used a little bit in yoga. I know Iyengar uses a dowel or a rod, and I'm actually starting to see more people using it. When I first started working with it, I couldn't see anybody using it that I knew about, so I started developing it. A lot of people are using wood and hard materials, but I've been using a padded flexible one, which makes it a lot more comfortable on the body, I find. And yeah, it's really fun to combine the yoga elements with the Qigong too.
Yeah, that's really cool. And people can just go to your website if they want to find that or pick one up, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I ship them out all over the country, all over the world now too. And yeah, you can get them on bowyoga.com. I do a little package, so I send, you know, a balance bar is what I call it, and a DVD or an online course. So I show you everything that I know how to use it. But anytime I work with yoga teachers, they always grab it and they're like, oh, you know, you can use it for this or for this as a chest opener, you know, or as this. It's such a simple prop that it's really limitless what you can do with it.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's really cool to hear. I'll have to check that out for sure.
Nice.
Okay, so let's dive into newsletters. I'm sure people are like, oh no, keep talking about this other stuff. Let's not talk about newsletters. But I think a good starting point is, you know, if somebody's listening and they're like, they've really been resisting the whole newsletter thing, or people are feeling like maybe it's archaic or it's something we shouldn't be doing, why do you think it's important to have a mailing list?
All right. Well, I mean, I think that's true. Like, when people start thinking about this, and a lot of people are already convinced, they know they need to do it, but then all of a sudden, you know, you start making excuses and suddenly, oh, the laundry needs to get done and, oh, I need to do my taxes, right? So you're right. When there's something difficult that we know we need to do, we do find lots of excuses and stories that tell to kind of discourage or distract us. So I totally get that. Newsletters and email lists are your number one resource as an independent contractor. So basically, I'd say there's four people in our audience right here. There's the independent contractor who's like a local yoga teacher. Maybe they do it part-time. Maybe it's full-time. Another would be like a traveling yoga teacher. So you go around and you do workshops and retreats. And another category could be a studio manager or a studio owner. So you have a brick and mortar or a location. And you have a place that you bring people to. And the last category would be people who are in the business of yoga. Maybe you offer consulting services, or you have a product related to yoga, or like a nutrition supplement, something like that. So for all of these cases, you really need to grow an audience. There's going to naturally be a lot of turnover. If you're a yoga teacher, you know, 20 students come and after a year, 18 have gone. You know, there's a high turnover. Mm-hmm. People come and go. So you always have to be bringing new people in to your community. And email is really the best way to communicate with people, at least right now. It has been for a long time and it seems to be still the gold standard. And it's really not that hard to grow an email list and to nurture that list and to develop a community. So that when you offer that class, that retreat, when you move to a new studio, when you want to grow your studio, or when you want to offer your services to people, you now have that very important community of people who are already, they already know you, they like you, they trust you, and they're ready to buy from you. They're ready to benefit from your services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with all of that. If somebody's kind of maybe a bit more old school thinking with this and they're like, well, you know, I have captured some email addresses, but I don't do anything formal with them. Like I don't have a list on a software, but I just, you know, send emails from time to time. What do you think are kind of like the pros and cons of that method of doing it versus actually having something like MailChimp or ConvertKit and actually having a list where you can keep everyone?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple reasons for sure. I think, you know, if you're just starting out, if you just have a small group, it's better to just send out that group Gmail. You should BCC people. I've seen sometimes everybody's email show up, like, that's not cool. But anyway, if that's all you've got and that's what you can do, you should do that. But when you're ready to really step to the next level, and when you get a program like MailChimp, it's going to look more professional. You're going to be able to add in posters and pictures and like a nice, good-looking format. You know, you want to present yourself more professionally, and it's not that hard. MailChimp is free for the first 2,000 subscribers, so it doesn't cost you anything. And the other thing is you can create templates. So like if you we'll get into this more in detail later, but you know, you can basically repurpose the same newsletter every month or every 2 weeks and just kind of switch out the content. You don't have to recreate the wheel. So it makes it easier for you. You can also track. You can see how many people have opened it, how many people have unsubscribed, how many people have, you know, read this article or that article. So you start to get a two-way communication. Often you send an email and you don't know what happened. Did anybody read it? Did it just end up in spam? You have no idea. So those programs can really help you understand what's going on and make more of a two-way communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I don't really get like kind of, I guess the old school version of people like, you know, putting images in. Do you remember getting those emails where people would send them out and like the fonts would be different colors and like the images would be all over the place? I feel like, you know, mail service has really looked at that and created a solution for it. And so I think that, you know, if you're somebody out there who's still kind of doing the way of just doing it yourself, it's actually so much easier to just use a template. Like, I think that people get really intimidated by the software, but it's actually really easy to use.
Yeah, it's become extremely user-friendly. It's become very cost-effective. There's really no reason not to use it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And so when it comes to subscribers, we're going to talk about getting 1,000 subscribers. So first of all, why do you want 1,000 subscribers specifically?
Yeah, I mean, it could just be an arbitrary number, but it's a good milestone. I mean, I think it means that you've done something right. It's not easy to get 1,000 subscribers. It's taken me 2 years. And I've been working at it pretty much with a lot of focus right from the beginning. Like, I knew I wanted to grow my email list right off the bat, and it still took me 2 years. Now, there's lots of hacks and stuff online where people say, do it in 30 days. And I mean, maybe you'll get a lot of people, but I don't think you're going to get a lot of quality people. You're just going to get people who are, you know, maybe less interested. So it's not really about the number, but there is a concept developed by Kevin Kelly, and he says, if you can create as an artist, you know, or as a service provider, 1,000 true fans, that means like 1,000 people who just love you, and they're going to buy anything you put out. They're going to like everything you put on Facebook, that you can actually make a living. You know, if each one of those people pays you about $100 a year, you know, $10 a month or so, you could make $100,000 a year and you can live happily ever after. I think a lot of times we listen to interviews and we read books and we just want the answers. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try my best during this interview to pose questions to people. So what you might think about is, okay, how can I give $100 of value to 1,000 people in a year? And you might want to pause the podcast or think about this for a little while. So it's not going to be easy to do that if you're just teaching group classes or even doing retreats. So you might have to think about expanding your vision for your business and what you can offer. And there's lots and lots of ways. So the first thing is to just figure out, how could I serve enough people that I can make the lifestyle that I want? I can earn enough money. And so you really need to think about how to reach a large amount of people, and each of them can just pay you a little bit and you can make a great living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Cause it's like, yeah, if you can get everyone to pay you just a small amount, it seems really insignificant. But when you've got a big list, like, it's actually quite a bit of money that you would be making, like more than the average yoga teacher is probably making right now, or even ever thinks that they might make, which is really cool to think about. I guess the question that comes to mind for me is, like, if you get 1,000 people on your list, you know, how do you make sure that they are the type of people who are actually willing to, you know, pay you $100 per year?
Yeah, great question. So this is really important. So again, I want people to think deeply about, yeah, who do you want on your list? And I have a way that you can figure this out. So think about, if you're a teacher or if you're a studio owner, who is your favorite student? Like, just pick one student. If you had to leave your studio and go to another town and you could only take one student with you, that student who always shows up, who's super engaged, who just loves what you do and gets the most out of your class, who's that one person? So think about that person. Put their face, their name, their whole self into your mind as your favorite student. Now, it's not easy to think of a favorite. Sometimes you might have many, but if you could just take one, pick that person. So this is called a customer avatar in marketing lingo. But I think a lot of people, marketers, are very disconnected from the customers. Often they're planning this out in a boardroom somewhere. They're thinking about, you know, what's the age and what's their religion and what's their, you know, income level and blah, blah, blah. And they're creating this kind of imaginary person that they're trying to market to.
Mm-hmm.
But yoga teachers have the benefit that you're with these people every day. You know them deeply. They often open up and share about their family, their struggles, their health conditions, their life with you. There's a huge amount of trust, and you have a deep, intimate understanding of your favorite student. So really be clear about that one person. And then you want to focus everything that you do on that one person. You think about that person when you're writing your email, when you're making your poster, when you're deciding what words to use in your description, in your class description. You really want to focus on that one person. And what happens then is that that person multiplies. They bring their friend, they bring their cousin, another person who's just like them starts showing up, and pretty soon you're going to have classes filled with your favorite student. And what's better than that? And that's who you want on your list.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And so then you've attracted these people, you know who they are. How do you actually get them on your list?
Yeah. So once you know who you want to be on your list, who's that favorite student, you know, is it a middle-aged woman? Is it, you know, a 20-something, you know, fitness enthusiast? Like, so you've got some kind of demographics on who you want. So now you want to figure out, what do they want? So what is something that they would really, really benefit from, that they would really love to have? And I want to back up a little bit to kind of a mindset, because I think a lot of yoga teachers have a hard time with marketing and with offering gifts and trying to collect emails, because they feel like it's manipulative. And you know, when you look at marketing tactics, a lot of it is, you know, people are drilling into pain points, and they're using scarcity, and they're using all these persuasion techniques to try to influence people. And a lot of yoga teachers just feel awful, and they don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. You can still reconcile this. And the way I do it, think about nature. Okay. Think about how nature creates, you know, grows and propagates. So if you have a fruit, say a cherry, you know, that cherry has a seed inside, which is what that tree wants to share. It's the, you know, the most important thing is that tree can multiply. So it doesn't just throw out a bunch of seeds, right? It creates this delicious, bright, aromatic fruit and flower, so that a bird will come and eat it, or a bear or something will eat it and then share the seed. So nature creates flowers and fruits, something very attractive or nutritious or beneficial. And inside of that, there's a seed. There's something that it wants. So you want to think about creating something that satisfies your favorite student. But inside of it, there's a little seed. There's something that you want to share. So that's what I call an irresistible gift. So what that is basically something that is really attractive, useful, valuable, exciting to your favorite student. And you give it to them, and in exchange, they give you their email, and they agree to stay in touch with you. And that's the seed. That is that is what you put inside of that gift, so that you can grow and you can prosper. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really glad that you touched on that as well, because I think that that's one of the biggest things that I've experienced in conversations with, you know, yoga teachers that I work with one-on-one, people in my private Facebook community, yoga teacher friends I've talked to, is like, sure, yeah, I want to fill my programs. I want to grow my email list. I want to, you know, grow my Instagram following, but I don't want to be like the greasy car salesman who's like, get the sunroof, get the leather seats. And you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to spend more money. They're hustling you a little bit, and it feels really unspiritual to hustle people into buying your stuff. And yeah, I love the way that you put that in the way to think about that. And it's kind of, I guess, less metaphorically what I try to think of as well, is like, you're not shoving something down their throat. Like you just make an offer, like, you know, join my list, you get this thing in return. It's saying something after class, inviting them to join, letting them know about your offerings. People are not going to do things that they don't feel attracted to, but they're in your class for a reason. So, you know, that door is open and you should walk through.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, you don't even have to necessarily create this gift. Like you said, you know, the class itself is the gift. People have already come to you. They like you. They want to stay connected with you. That's true. All you have to do sometimes is just say, hey, do you want to join my email list? You know, do you want to stay in touch? People are often quite willing. So that's kind of the low-hanging fruit, you know. And then we can talk more about how to reach a broader audience. But yeah, absolutely. A lot of people are just ready to connect with you, and it doesn't take a whole lot.
Yeah. I think that you know, in-person relationships, the yoga class can be the gift in a lot of ways. Like, people are willing to give you their email address because they know who you are. When you're online and somebody kind of stumbles on your website, or maybe you've just interacted via Facebook group or something like that, I think the gift can be really beneficial because it kind of does that rapport building. Like, hey, you know, I'm giving you something in return for your email address. I don't want you to just give me access to your inbox, which is a very personal thing, and it's sacred in a lot of ways these days because we get so many emails, and email can be a massive task for a lot of us.
For sure. Yeah, and one thing I want to say too is you know, yoga students and people practicing yoga are developing sensitivity, and often they already are very sensitive. They can smell BS a mile away, and yeah, if you're that snake oil salesman who's, you know, you don't want to use those kind of tactics. Never do something that doesn't feel right to you, but you can find a way to kind of use the understanding of marketing in a way that really resonates and feels good to you. And so sometimes people will read a marketing book and they'll look at these techniques and it just won't feel right. And it probably won't even work if they do it in the way that these hardcore marketers are doing it, with the high pressure and the time constraints. So I think there really is a way to make it authentic, to do it from your heart, to feel good about it, and to still have it be a win-win, and to still make it work for you. You just have to be, maybe put a little more thought into it. But it's absolutely possible to be persuasive and to grow your list and feel good about it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. And so in terms of, you know, the different types of gifts that people can offer, what do you feel like is kind of the best types of gifts that you've seen?
Yeah. All right. So here's the formula for the irresistible gift. The thing that your favorite student cannot say no to. They're going to love to get it. So first of all, you have to understand your favorite student's greatest need or greatest interest. Like, for example, I work with a lot of boomers, you know, people 50 plus, a lot of them really want to improve their balance. So I created an e-course called 3 Weeks to Better Balance. And so that's a gift that I give away when I go to expos or health fairs. And I say, you know, this is a $50 course and it's right there on Udemy. You can see the price and you can see the reviews, so it's legitimate. And I say, I'll give it to you for free if you want to join my email list. And it's a very easy thing to say yes to, and it really attracts the people that I want on my list. So I have an interest in some skills in video editing and video making, so I chose to do an e-course. But I'd like you to think about, what are your skills? So if you are a good writer, what could you make that would be easy for you to write about? So you might make an ebook or a PDF. Let's say you're really into reading and you love studying yoga philosophy and so forth. Maybe you could make a summary of all the important yoga sutras or about the Upanishads, or something that's interesting that people would like to read. Let's say you're a good actor. You should probably create a video or a DVD or an online course. If you're a good speaker, you might make a guided class meditation. You might do a recording of a yoga nidra, or maybe you start a podcast. If you're good at singing, if you love kirtan, make a kirtan CD or lyric sheets. If you're a good photographer, if you love photography, maybe you make a visual guide. Maybe you make a bunch of the 10 best yoga poses for this or that, the other. So I really suggest to make your favorite skills, the things you're really good at, the format that you use for your irresistible gift, and you connect it to your favorite student's greatest need. So your skills plus their need, the format plus the content, equals an irresistible gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And, you know, this is a mindset that I had years ago when I first created like my first email newsletter gift. Was, you know, I've put a lot of work into this, and, you know, this ebook is like taken a lot. And even, you know, the first one I did for my other travel podcast, we actually paid somebody to design. So we actually invested money into it. And I was like, Well, I really would like to like make money off of this. For anyone who kind of has that mindset, what would you say to them about, you know, giving it in exchange for the emails?
Yeah. Yeah, so I had the same idea too. When I started, I wrote an ebook, and I spent a couple months on it. You know, I put my heart into it, and I paid an editor to edit it. I worked with a graphic designer to make a cover. You know, it's up there on Amazon, and it's for sale there. But the thing about selling products or selling things is you can't sell it without a list. So it's almost pointless. You have this idea, oh, I'll make money on it. But that's kind of putting the cart before the horse. You actually really need to sell something for free. You need to sell it so that you get a list, and then you can sell other stuff later. So you really have to put some skin in the game. You have to invest to make something valuable. Otherwise, if you just try to sell it, who are you going to sell it to? It's not easy to just put it up on Amazon. Nobody will find it if you don't drive people there. If you just put it on your website, nobody will find it if nobody's going there. Mm-hmm. So, I do recommend, like, put some time, energy, and money, create something that's worth money that you could sell. But I would say at the beginning, you know, you could sell it to the people who just love you. You know, your family and friends might buy it to support you. But soon after, you know, I started selling my ebook, and then I just started using it as a irresistible gift. And I included it with a package to raise the value of the overall package, because once you create it like an ebook, it doesn't really cost you anything to duplicate it. So it's actually a really good idea to you could try selling it, but I'd suggest to start using it to grow your list and then sell stuff later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you said that, because I actually had the same experience. Like, my boyfriend's like, well, you know, throw it up on Amazon then. Let's see if we can make some money off of it. It'll still be our free giveaway for our email newsletter. And I was like, great, I'm going to make some money off of this. And like, I mean, yeah. Amazon is just so big. It's like the ocean. Like, people, exactly like you said, aren't going to find your products if they don't know who you are. And they're not going to pay for something that, you know, they haven't heard about, or it's not from somebody that they know or trust. Yeah, I quickly realized that there's a lot of value in being able to have, you know, somebody's inbox, because then it's an opportunity to sell other things. Yeah, for sure. So I definitely love that. And so, you know, if people are following along with this, so basically it's like you need to figure out who your people are, like who your person is, your target market, your avatar, and then you're creating this gift for them. And so now they've got this gift. What do we do with it to actually build our email newsletter?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple different ways. So first of all, I mean, you can really go for the low-hanging fruit first. So the easiest thing to do, and I have a template that I can give your listeners, which is basically just an email sign-up sheet that I use. I made a difference with it, though. I don't know if you've ever tried to gather emails, but unless you have a degree in like cryptology, you can't read people's handwriting. It's very frustrating. So I created this little template that has little boxes, so they have to put one letter at a time. So the first thing to do is just go out and go to your classes. And now, one caveat here, you need to talk to the studio owner. Some studios don't allow you to gather emails from their students. You know, that's kind of their audience. So this may not work, but some places are okay with it. So you could just start with your class and just say, hey, you put the form out after class. Say, I'd love to have you join my list. And you can just simply attach an email, because you're only going to get 10 people or 20 people at a time, you know. So you don't even need software at this point. Just send them that gift. And let them join and just start gathering your list that way. Ask your family and friends. So reach out through email, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc. And one thing you can do too, when you're creating your gift, start to include people. So like what I did is when I made my ebook, I put out like three different covers and I polled people on Facebook. I said, what do you think is the best cover? And A, B, or C, and people said, oh, I like A or B or this. And, you know, it wasn't that I really needed their feedback, but I wanted people to start to become aware of what I was doing. It's kind of a pre-sell you can start to make people aware of and start to get connected to and engaged in your product or in your service. And so you can start reaching out to people even as you're creating it and start to engage with them, so that by the time it's ready, they're excited. They're ready to get it from you. They're excited about it. So start by doing some outbound stuff. So you go out and you try to collect emails. You can go to health fairs, festivals, you know, create a little, you know, table, talk to a local martial arts studio or a gym or a senior center, wherever your favorite students hang out, and see if you can just put up a little table and talk to people. So you can do a little footwork and just meet people and just have them join the list, just straight up on paper. That's the first step. And that works at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I just have a quick question about that. I was thinking about how a lot of times at, like, you know, health fairs or expos or festivals, that type of thing, people will do like those draws where you can, you either fill out a form or you drop your business card or something like that. And I've always been a little bit unsure as to whether or not that's like, by me giving that, am I agreeing to go on a newsletter list? Is it like, is it okay if you're that business for you to take those people and put them on your list? What are sort of your thoughts around that?
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got to be clear about that. So what I do on my template that I can give to everybody, I just have a little note at the bottom that says, you know, by entering your email here, you will join my email newsletter. You know, you can unsubscribe at any time. So I do notify people there that it will be including them on the list. And you don't want to do a bait and switch. So you do want to be upfront. Some email services have a two-step verification where once once you're doing it just straight up online, it'll ask people to say, do you want to subscribe here? And so people will be aware that they are choosing to join your list. It is true. You really want what they call permission-based marketing. So you really want to get people's permission before you add them to the list and make sure they understand that that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that you can relate to having this experience, but like you email somebody one time and somehow you end up on their mailing list. And most of the time I'm like fine with it because it's somebody that I've engaged with, but it's always a little strange to me when I just end up on a newsletter list and I'm like, wait, why am I getting this?
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a little annoying and yeah, you do want to be, you know, you want to be careful with that. Yeah. Cause you could turn people off or you could get spam complaints. So yeah, you could, that could backfire.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're going to get into this probably a little bit later when we're actually talking about the newsletters, but I think it's worth mentioning now is you always need to have that unsubscribe button at the bottom as well, or some sort of, if you're writing it yourself, make sure you have like hit reply with unsubscribe if you don't want to be on this list, because you know it's people's right not to have you in their inbox as well.
For sure. Well, and it's a legal issue too. I don't know about Canada, but in the States, you legally have to have an unsubscribe, and that's where the MailChimp and the email services and software are nice, because that's all done for you. It's just automatically in the template. You don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah, and I love how, you know, I use MailChimp personally, and I love how they actually won't let you send the email out without having all the legal things that actually need to be in newsletters. So that's something that, like, that way I don't even have to worry about that. Because for me, that's the type of stuff that's a pain in the butt. Like, I don't want to have to worry about not including a one line of text that could get me sued or get me, like, in legal trouble. So I'm like, sweet, MailChimp will just do it for me. Done. I'm in.
Yeah, you can get fined or something. But I mean, I think when you're small enough, like, I don't think there's a huge risk. But I don't want people to worry too much about that either. But yeah, you do want to do your due diligence and make sure you've got your T's crossed, your I's dotted.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've never had anything personally happen, or, you know, I've done email newsletters for bigger businesses as well. And people usually will just write an email if they can't seem to find the unsubscribe that says, please take me off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's the nice thing, you know, in the yoga community, I found people are really, like, if I was in, like, the, I don't know, the creatine fitness business or something, like, I don't know, I think you get people who are tougher, ruder or something. I've always found that people in the yoga community are super kind and friendly for the most part. And like, people will just tell you if you're doing something wrong and you can fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. So that's like how you can reach out to people kind of more offline, I guess, like in person, outbound. Yeah. And then there's a whole series of ways, obviously, that you can connect with people online, you know, inbound.
Yes. So basically, a lot of yoga teachers have a website now, And if you don't, you should just get a template, you know, Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, they're all pretty much the same. They're all good. Just get a template and start to collect emails on your website. So you need to have a newsletter, sign in form. You know, this is kind of basic. You can set up your Facebook page to have a link to your email, so you can join people through your Facebook page. Later, when you get another software, I use something called Lead Pages, which allows you to put something on your website, basically a pop-up. So after somebody's been there for 30 seconds, a little pop-up appears with your irresistible gift, and it says, you know, would you like to download, you know, this Bow Yoga exercise guide or the Eight Limbs of Yoga poster. I've got a bunch, so you know, I use different ones. And then it invites people to enter their email, and then it automatically sends them the gift. So that's a really cool software. We can get into later how that works. But you wanna set up your website to be a lead capturing service, not just like a brochure. You know, your website needs to be bringing people into your list automatically. That's the only way you're going to scale this. If you do it all by foot, by hand, it's going to take forever to grow. So you want to automate this. You can, in your blog articles, you can start writing some articles, and you can offer a gift along with that. So if you wrote an article about balance, then you want to have like, here's the 3 weeks to better balance course right next to it, and a link to for people to join that. Now, if you're like a studio manager or a studio owner and you want to grow your list, first of all, I'm amazed when I go into a yoga studio and they don't even ask me to sign in a form or personal information. That's basic. So you want to make sure people are signing, obviously, a waiver and a form. And sometimes there's a box that says, check here if you want to join our newsletter. That's the wrong way to do it. You want to say, check here if you don't want to be added to the newsletter. They did a whole study you might have heard about in Sweden or something, or about organ donors. And all they changed was one word, and they said, check here if you want to be an organ donor, when they were registering to vote or something. And like a fraction of people did it. And they said, check here if you do not want to be an organ donor. And it just raised the amount of organ donors significantly. So this has been studied. It's a very simple little tweak. If you aren't doing that, you can do that tomorrow, and you can start to turn every new student into a subscriber. And one more thing too, I used to manage yoga studios, and I'm also amazed at how untrained the front desk staff is at collecting emails from visitors. You're going to get a lot of people walking in your studio who are just like checking you out. They're not ready to take a class or to buy a package yet. You need to try to get them on your email list. So you should have a giveaway right there. You know, oh, I can give you a free class card if you want to join our newsletter, and we'll keep you up to date for future events. That's a super easy yes. And just training your front desk staff to do that one thing, over the course of a year, you could have hundreds and hundreds of new students who weren't ready then, but they'll be ready after they see your newsletter the next 5 times. You know, where do you think they're going to go for their studio? It's going to be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I think, you know, I've experienced the same thing as well. And especially when you have to uncheck something, I always like, whenever I sign up for something that I don't want to be on their newsletter and I forget to uncheck it, I'm always like, damn it, I forgot to uncheck it. So yeah, I mean, it definitely works. And then, you know, in that case, I'm not annoyed. It's like, I open the email that I get pretty much right away sent to me. Maybe there's something good in there and I want to actually stay on, but otherwise I scroll to the bottom and I hit unsubscribe. No yeah. harm, no foul. It's really simple.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. And so we've kind of dove into this a little bit, but I think the next step is kind of figuring out what email service you should use. Because I think at this point you are growing enough that it's going to become a little bit unruly if you're trying to do a BCC in your inbox, like we were talking about before. I think that works when you've got, you know, a really small amount, you're kind of testing out finding your voice and just maybe getting some feedback. But, you know, once you've actually got those like pop-ups and stuff, I think it just makes the most sense to have that funneled towards something like MailChimp, because that way MailChimp can capture all those emails on a list, and then you can have those automated things sending out your gift and that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, you really want to automate this. Like, it's kind of fun at the beginning when you're growing your list and you're going around and it's growing. But after a while, it gets annoying and it's just like work. So as soon as you can, get it automated. So I use something called ActiveCampaign, and it's very similar to MailChimp. They're all kind of the same. And the thing is, actually now though, MailChimp offers free, it's free for the first 2,000 subscribers. So I think MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, you have to pay, I paid $9 a month up to the first 500, and then it's 17 a month for the next 1,000. Now, when I first started, MailChimp did not have an autoresponder feature. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't join them. I did ActiveCampaign because I wanted the autoresponder. But now I understand MailChimp has autoresponder. Do you know if that's true for the first 2,000?
Yeah, it is true because that's what I have right now. And I actually I used to pay for MailChimp. So it's kind of funny when I was doing my expenses for my taxes for this year, I actually have 6 months worth of paying for MailChimp. And I think it was $15 Canadian a month or something like that. And that was basically, I think that was 0 to 500 people and, or maybe 0 to 1,000 people and having the autoresponder because that's something that I really wanted to have with the service. And then, I'm not sure at which point, I'm not sure how long I was paying when I didn't need to be, but at some point they switched it where you could do it for free. And it's been, it's really, really awesome that they've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really smart. So they're doing the freemium model and it's really a good win-win. I've used MailChimp. It's a very easy platform. It's very user-friendly. You'll have no trouble with it and it's free. And they do have autoresponders now. So the thing is, if you start with one, you're kind of married to it. They don't make it easy for you to switch your list off of it. So it's worth really, making sure that you're comfortable with it. I've heard nothing but good things. I think you're fine to go with MailChimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've used MailChimp the whole time that I've been doing this, and I would definitely speak highly of it. I found that it was very user friendly to use, and I had never used an email software when I started with it. I guess probably 2.5, 3 years ago. No, probably 2.5 years ago. I think it's got great functionality. I think that I've heard that there's other ones that help you build out your funnels a little bit better or a little bit, you can kind of go a little bit deeper with it and have more stuff happening. But I don't know. I've built out a couple of different funnels and MailChimp's been great for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's definitely the Rolls Royce of emails, Infusionsoft or ClickFunnels or something. But most yoga teachers are not going to need, the Lamborghini if they're just driving around town. So, and you could always upgrade if you do have a real big business you're trying to create or reaching, hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah, you don't need the big guns at the beginning though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so I'm curious with this, what would you actually recommend in terms of having this autoresponder or this automated campaign?
Yeah. Okay. So, I didn't even start off with the autoresponder. I just started sending out emails every month. So you can just start with that. Don't wait till everything's ready and then start. Just start sending out emails every week or every 2 weeks or at least once a month. And you can still reuse the same template. But what an autoresponder is really good at is as soon as somebody joins your list, you trigger a prepared sequence. And this is really nice because you just do it once and then you can, it'll do it automatically. You can set it up. So I have mine, as soon as somebody joins, they get their first email and it gives them an introduction to what is Bow Yoga and a little bit about me. I can talk more about the real strategy behind this. And then a couple of days later, they get another email and it shows some media articles that I've been featured in, some testimonials, a little bit of, credibility boosting. And then my next email is showing some of my products, the balance bar, the packages, the beginner package, and so forth. So it's kind of a nice, easy way to make sure people understand who you are and what you're doing before you try to sell anything to them. And it's all automated. And then you can, when you do send out your monthly newsletter, your 2 week newsletter, they'll get those as well. So that can be endlessly tweaked and adjusted. I'm always kind of updating mine. You could make your autoresponder go go for a year. I mean, you could put 30 emails in it over 6 months. It's totally unlimited, totally up to you. But start with something simple. 3 emails is a good start, and that'll get you going.
Yeah, definitely. I actually just helped with a campaign where we set up like a, there was 52 after, I think, like the first ones, like 3 that went out like on the daily, and then 52 every week. So people who sign up will receive like 1 auto email every single week. And definitely takes the legwork. I think that's something to note. Is like, yeah, it's, there's a lot of legwork in that type of stuff. But I think that it's really worth it when you can actually see that sort of stuff kind of like paying off. And maybe it's not paying off financially right away, but just in having that engagement, like being in somebody's inbox, you know, every day for 3 days as they get to know your story and really interact with you, and then showing up, you know, every week for a couple weeks, whatever you choose, and really just having like that work for you for each person who signs up can be really great.
Oh my God, that's totally right. And that's amazing. I definitely don't have 52 emails on my autoresponder.
Oh God, I don't either.
but I mean, you know, if that's done well, I mean, that could be such a, that's a reason why you would hire somebody to help you. If you don't know how to do this, have somebody just set up your autoresponder and help you do that. And then, you know, you can focus on other things, because boy, that's so helpful. If you can gather all your best stuff and really show yourself and who you want to serve and how in an automatic way, that's going to make such a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, you kind of mentioned this, but in case anyone's feeling like, oh God, like I'm super overwhelmed by this. Like I started with 1 email that said like, hey, welcome to MBO. Like, here's who I am. Couple sentences. Click here to get your free ebook. Like very, yeah. Very simple. Since then, I think I've built it out to like 3 or 4 emails, but it's still like quite simple. It's like, okay, you know, see you next week. Here's something else. And it's just my story has expanded as I've done this longer. And that's the only reason it's longer. But when I started, just 1 email, couple lines of text, introducing myself, click through to your ebook. That was it.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if you agree with this, Amanda, but you'll, no matter how long you do this and how much you add to it, you're probably always going to feel like you want to do it better, you know? Like I feel like that every day. I'm like, I need to redo my autoresponder. I need to add more stuff. It needs to be better. I think I'll always feel that way. So you can expand that, you know, forever. People will do stories, you know, they'll have like almost like a series of episodes, you know, this happened and wait till my next email. I'll tell you what happened next. You know what I mean? You can get so creative with this and have a lot of fun with it too.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. And it's kind of funny because it was one of the tasks that I worked on. I think end of last week, I was working on some autoresponder type stuff. So I think it's like websites as well. You know, it's going to work for you once you've got it going, you put that legwork in, but things are always going to change and shift. And you might want to add an email or take an email out, or maybe you have like a new PDF or guide or video or something that you want to add to that stream, and you can definitely change it. I think it comes back to kind of where we started this conversation, where it's more important to, you know, get it out there than worry about it being perfect. Because if you worry about it being perfect, you might never do it.
Oh my gosh. That was my motto. When I was making my ebook, I stole it from Facebook. It was done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
I had to tell myself that so many times. Don't wait till it's perfect. It's never perfect. Just get it done and then put it out there. You can always go back and tweak it. And one suggestion I have is like, if you're interested in my autoresponder or Amanda's, it's easy. Just sign up for our list and just do it as a study project and just say, I wonder what they're doing for their autoresponder, or find somebody else who you like, a musician or another yoga teacher. Or almost everybody's got these now. So any kind of lead magnet or gift you see online, just for curiosity's sake, join it. See how they structure their autoresponders. Start to be curious about, like, why did they put this here in this order? Why did they tell a personal story? Why are they adding testimonials here? You know, start to think about it through that lens as a business person, and you'll start to figure out these formulas and these patterns. And then, you know, if you get bored of it, just unsubscribe. But do a little study and try out how other people have done it and figure out how you want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice, and definitely something that I've utilized in the past and continue to utilize, especially when I'm feeling like I need a little bit of inspiration. It's cool to see what people who have big lists are doing. So if somebody, you know, tells me that they have, you know, a big list or a list that's bigger than mine, then I'm like, okay, I want to see what you're doing. Like, what are you doing that I'm not? What can I learn from you? Because I think that, you know, once you get going, if you, depending on the frequency of when you're actually sending emails, you know, there's definitely those moments of like, okay, like, you know, do people like this? Are they engaged? Is this something they're interested in? And I think that we can kind of get wrapped up in our heads a little bit with that. So sometimes it's nice to just get that outside inspiration to see what other people are doing.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll see like this person that you think is super popular and famous, and they've got like a pretty crappy autoresponder. Like, it's not that exciting or very good or interesting. And that'll actually be kind of encouraging. Say, oh, I could do that. So sometimes,
yeah.
I'd go the other way too.
Yeah, I like that. So in terms of actually sending out your email, so my kind of philosophy is once you've got one person on your email list, it's time to actually start sending those emails out. How often do you think that people should send out emails?
Yes, that's the million-dollar question. I think of it as a frequency. And I'm a visual person, so I think of frequency, like if you're looking at a song, you know, like on a as a wavelength, it's got this frequency, right? It's got this beat to it. So think about it like that. Think about like what frequency do you want to send it out? So maybe it's a slow but like steady beat, like a very slow but steady frequency where you're just sending it out at minimum. Okay, if you really don't have the time and you've got three kids and two jobs and you just don't have time for this, once a season. You know, once a quarter, send out, that's bare minimum. Less than that, you know, it's not going to work. That's just cold, but alive. I do monthly, you know, and I always think I need to do it more, but I find like, it's kind of like a magazine subscription. You know, it shows up monthly and it's packed full of good content. I put a good half day into my newsletter. You know, I gather a testimonial. I do a little personal sharing, kind of the letter to the editor from the editor, you know, talking about what's going on in the world or my life or interesting things that have happened. You know, if I've done an interview with somebody or I've written a post or if I've just found something that I think my audience would like, you know, I'll put a good chunk of time into it, send it out every month, and I get about a 40% open rate, which is pretty high. And so people seem to like that. Now, some people go the opposite way. They say, no, it should all be just be like a text, just like a letter from a friend, just simple, short. And I've actually had people email me and say, damn, Nate, your newsletter is too long. I can't get through it. It's too much info. But I thought about it, and this person was actually not on my kind of favorite student list. This wasn't my ideal client. This was like a busy mom, and she was the person who just wanted the fast. The quick, you know, just get to the point. So if that's your audience, you should make your newsletter more like that. My audience is more, you know, people who are older, retired, you know, they like to sit there and read some good stuff. They like to look at pictures. So for me, that kind of more dense content seems to work well. It's on your personality. If you just like to do things quickly, do them twice a week, or the best is if you can do it every week with something useful, something helpful, do it every week. So the frequency though needs to be consistent. It like music, it can't have like this offbeat to it. You know, it's got to be consistent. Have that frequency work and make sure you've got some good content, and it'll be alive. It'll start living and growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think one of the things that I did with my email newsletters, I started at once a week, like sharing all my podcast episodes. And I just found that it wasn't really exciting me. I didn't really have that much to say. I felt like I was just like spitting out, like regurgitating the podcast episode. And so I actually just put in a newsletter like, hey, we're going to go to once a month now. And that way I can share four episodes plus what I've done in the month, plus like, you know, what resources I love, what songs I'm listening to, you know, what's new in my life. Cause there's something to actually talk about. Whereas like week to week, I just found like, okay, it just feels like very repetitive. And I didn't have any negative results from that. So I think that that's like an interesting way. I think people get really caught up in like, okay, I've done it this way. I've always done it this way. But it's like, just tell your audience, you know, allow them to be part of that decision, interact with them, engage with them, ask them what they want, and let them know what's going to work better for you.
Nice. Yeah. And one thing about that too, that I found when I sit down every month to make my newsletter, it's actually a really interesting process for me because it allows me to reflect and review, and it allows me to kind of organize, like, okay, if I'm going to, I've got this YouTube channel that I started. Well, I've got a Bow Yoga YouTube channel, and I started this little mini series called Meditate with Nate. And it's just like simple videos showing people how to meditate. And so, I want to share one of these episodes in my newsletter. So then I have to I haven't edited it yet. So then I have to edit it, and then I put it on YouTube, and then I put it on my website, and then I put it on my newsletter. So if I didn't have this kind of deadline, if I didn't have this like project, I need to get my newsletter out, that might have just died there in my hard drive and never gotten finished. So it kind of forces me to tie everything up every month and make sure it's all out there. And now I'm putting out consistent, you know, YouTube videos. I'm repurposing it on my website, on my Facebook. And so it's really helping me stay focused that I'm not just sending content to my email list, but I'm also putting out permanent content into the world. Because the email newsletter, you know, once people read it, that content might disappear, right? Nobody really goes back 3 months usually. So make sure, you know, you're kind of repurposing your content too, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I love that example. And I'm curious, what other things do you include in an email newsletter? Because I think that, you know, this is definitely something I've struggled with at points. And I think one of the things I hear from people is like, oh, well, I just don't really have that much to say. Like, what would I even include in it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that every month. And then, so that's totally normal.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
No, you're not alone. And but at the end, I always feel like I don't have enough room to say everything I want to say. It's really amazing once you get the ball rolling how much you have to share. We forget so fast. When I go back and do my next newsletter, I look at the last month's because I just remake the template. I'm like, wow, that seems so long ago. So much has happened since then. You know, so make it easy on yourself. Like, start off with the easy stuff. You know, just get a testimonial from a student. Have that. Okay, every month I could get one testimonial. You can curate other people's content. You don't have to create it. If you saw a TED Talk that blew your mind and you know that your favorite students would just love it, you can just add that TED Talk and write why you think that's helpful. Write a little paragraph of how that impacted you and how that relates to what you offer and what they might need to know about it. You can share a personal story, like share your life a little bit. You know, if you have kids, pets, people go gaga over pets, you know, and baby photos. You know, if you're comfortable sharing your life a little bit with your list, they're going to just love you. And that's always interesting and fun. And people really feel like they're connected with you. A really easy one to do to create never-ending content is called LOL. I forget where I learned this, but it's basically called learn out loud. So just think about in the last month, what have you learned? Have you taken a yoga workshop? Have you read a new yoga book? Have you learned something from another system, Pilates or fitness or nutrition? What did you learn? And then just share it. Just say, yeah, I went to this workshop and I learned about this and this and this. Isn't that interesting? Just talk to people about what you're learning and include them in that process. Something timely, you know, if you're into Ayurvedic or Oriental medicine, talk about this is the, you know, we're entering the kapha season in spring, and here's what foods you should have, and here's what you shouldn't do, and blah, blah, blah. Talk about something relevant. Talk about current events, you know, something like, gosh, isn't it, you know, amazing about the, you know, the young people waking up and standing for ending gun violence. And wasn't that amazing? 600,000 people were in DC last week. And here's how this relates to yoga. You know, this is really a practice of ahimsa, right? So take a current event or a political thing and turn it around, and you have to link it to something relevant with you or your offering or your audience. But you can just, you know, connect to people very easily that way as well. And then, of course, sprinkle in your own classes, workshops, retreats, and specials. No more than 20% should be promotional, but make sure you include that too. I always end my newsletter with some inspirational quote that I found, you know, online and that relates to my message of the month. And yeah, I include a picture of myself and a message. I ask people for feedback or questions. Once you get started, really, it's actually hard to stop.
yeah, definitely. I've experienced the same thing. It's always like a little bit of resistance when I start, like, oh, what am I going to share this month? And then once I get going, I'm like, oh yeah, like this blog post was really cool. And oh, right, I listened to like 4 million podcast episodes that I really want to share with everyone. So yeah, I think too, one of the things that I've started doing is sometimes if I have ideas kind of like mid-month, because I send out monthly as well, is just writing a little note in my phone so that when I actually sit down, I don't feel as overwhelmed because I've thought of things. Because I think things come to us like throughout, you know, the weeks and the days, or while you're teaching classes, or, you know, while your students are in Shavasana, you have that moment of like, oh, I should share this thing. And it's so easy to forget it. So if you just jot it down, then you've got a list of ideas.
Totally agree. Yeah, I do the same thing. I've got a list and a notebook. And the nice thing is too, like once you get like one thing started, like if you have, yeah, like my favorite podcast, then the next month you just like keep that there and just replace it with a new podcast, you know? So it's not like you have to start from zero every time. The first few are the hardest. It does get easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned before that you've got a really good open rate, and 40% is definitely higher than industry average for sure. I think that industry averages is specifically for the fitness industry is I think around like 20 or 25%, which sounds really low. And I think for a lot of people can feel really discouraging. It's like, oh, I've spent all this time, I've made this gift. How do you get a higher open rate?
Yeah. I'm very, very afraid of unsubscribes. I'm very conscious that I don't want people to lose interest. I really want to deliver stuff that's interesting and helpful and valuable. I put a lot of time and thought into it. So I'm very sincere in when I put out a newsletter. I respect people's time, that they're gonna read it and hopefully get something that's really helpful. Now, there are a lot of like tactics, you know, you can write, I used to write like my headline, you know, like the first line you see when it opens, I'd say February newsletter, you know, something boring like that. I did an article one month because I teach a gentle yoga, and I've been really concerned with all the yoga injuries and the hip replacements and the yoga teachers who have worn their bodies out through too much high intensity end range yoga. And Jill Miller, who's a well-known teacher here, put out a blog post about her double hip replacement. And so I saw that. I was like, this is what people need to know about. So I said, how to not get your hip replaced in yoga or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, think of like a catchy, relevant, interesting title. And then I shared her story, and then I tied it into, I said, you know, bow yoga is incorporating qigong, it's gentle joint rotations, it's sustainable. So I showed, you know, here's something interesting, something relevant, something that people really need to know. And I tied it back to my own message and my own offering. So think about your title, you know, something that'll catch people's attention. You have to pay a little more to A/B test. I haven't dropped the money to, you can get A/B testing where half of your list gets one title and the other half gets another. So you can start testing. I don't do that, but you can eventually start testing these things. So having quality content, having the right people on your list, you know, people that I've met or connected with or given something valuable to are more likely to open. Somebody had asked about like ending up in spam. Now every email system is different. You might ask people if your email ends up in spam to whitelist you, which means like they check not spam, or I use priority inbox in Google, which is I don't know how anybody can live without that. It sorts all my emails automatically and it puts a yellow flag next to the important ones. So you could tell people to put the yellow flag next to theirs, next to your email, or kind of approve it. Also, my system, ActiveCampaign, I don't know if MailChimp does this, but I can, after about a week of sending my newsletter out, I can look back and there's a bunch of people who haven't opened it, and I can resend it to those who haven't opened it yet. And I'll get about another half again amount of people who just missed it. They didn't see it and they open it the second time around. So I might even be getting technically more than 40%, because the second time I'll probably get a 20% on top of, you know, of the leftovers. So that's a way you can get more people engaged too.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'll have to look into MailChimp if that is something that that MailChimp is able to do, because I've read about that as a way to like increase engagement and have more people opening. And I love the idea of being able to, you know, try a different time, try a different date, because you just, it's a lot of guesswork in a lot of ways, like trying to figure out like, okay, is my person like checking their email in the morning? Are they checking it in the evening? You know, is it going into their spam? Is it going into that annoying promotions tab that nobody ever checks?
Yeah. So you wanna be careful, because if people start spamming or marking your thing as spam, if you're too salesy, or if you're, you know, if you didn't get enough permission for people to join your list, yeah, you can end up in the promotion graveyard. Now, one thing I do, like, so I'll schedule mine to go out early morning the day that I launch it, and then for my second one the week later, I'll usually do that in the evening. So that way, I kind of try to get both sides. Some people might have missed it in the morning, and then they'll catch it in the evening later.
Awesome. Are there any other, you know, tips, resources, anything else you have for listeners out there who are like, who want to get to this 1,000 subscriber list?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's a website you should definitely write down, Google.
Do you know what's funny is I got my pen out.
I know. I meant to. Everybody does that. I learned that from Gary Vaynerchuk. He tricks his audience with that one. I know. It's amazing how much is just on Google. Just Google it and find out. Also look to others who are doing what you want to do, and try to take the best of what they're doing and make it your own. But I've put together a little template pack to save you the trouble of reinventing the wheel. So I've put together that email collection form, just the straight old school paper form. I can send you guys, I'll put in the pack a sample newsletter of something that I've done. I can send you PDFs of my autoresponder sequence. And just to help yoga teachers become more organized, I've got some things from my instructor training that I offer. It's a weekly class organizer. I've put together a bunch of marketing focus questions, like how to think about marketing in a question rather than an answer. You know, what am I trying to get out of this? Who am I trying to serve? Just kind of cues. And I wanted to share something that I've created, which is the 8 Limbs of Yoga poster. So this was an irresistible gift that I created a while back. I had this idea of the 8 limbs. You know, it's always shown as like a tree. It's like a ladder. It's a step-by-step. And I had this insight. It's really not that at all. It's an integrative system. And I saw this image of, if you've seen the seed of life or the flower of life, that sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. So I had this image of the 8 limbs actually being interconnected like that. So I made a sketch up and I asked my graphic designer collaborator to make it look really good. So I made this poster of the 8 limbs of yoga in this beautiful image of the cohesive image. And it's a really popular poster, because you can give it to your students and it's just like this one page, like here's the 8 limbs, here's how they connect, here's what they mean. And I'm totally happy to give that away if other people want to just use that as their irresistible gift, as their lead magnet. And so you could just save the trouble of creating something and get some practice of this. So basically, I'm going to drop this pack off in your Yoga Business Badasses Facebook group. I'm a part of that group and I really enjoy it. It's a really positive group. Some Facebook groups just, I don't know, everybody's kind of snarky and like holier than thou. And it's not very fun to be in those kind of groups, but you've really created a positive environment. People are super helpful. So I'm going to drop it off there. And I encourage people to join that group if you haven't. If you're interested in business, there's a lot of yoga business consultants in that group. If you need help with creating your own autoresponders or anything here, this is totally possible, you know, to find somebody to help you there. And so I'm going to drop off the template pack there. And I encourage you, yeah, just go to bowyoga.com, click on one of my irresistible gifts, see how my auto sequence works. Just reverse engineer it, and then if you don't like it, unsubscribe. So yeah, you can learn through, you know, what other people have done, and hopefully I can help make it a little easier for you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And yeah, I'll pin that to the top of the group so that people don't have to go digging through a bunch of different topics and conversations and that sort of thing. And thank you so much for offering that in general. I think that's going to be an amazing resource.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. You know, I think we're here to help each other. You know, that's one of my life missions is, you know, to make sure yoga teachers can really offer their gifts and do it as long as they can. I'm not a business consultant, but I'm just fascinated with the possibilities. I think yoga teachers should make more money. I think they should become more influential. And business is a very powerful platform to solve problems and to serve people and to do what you love all at the same time. So I really wish yoga teachers success in that.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't agree more. And if people want to follow you on social media, are you Bo Yoga across the platforms?
Yeah, pretty much. You can search for Bo Yoga, Facebook, Bo Yoga Official, Instagram, Bo Yoga Official, and boyoga.com. That's the hub. You know, you can check out the balance bars, check out some of the gifts, some of the blogs, and reach out to me. You can just send me an email, nate@boyoga.com. I love to chat with people and yeah, happy to connect.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for your time today, Nate, and for all this amazing information.
You're very welcome. It was really fun, Amanda. Thank you for having me on.
All right. I hope that you guys really enjoyed that episode. I know it's a long one. I know it's jam-packed with information. Definitely go check out the show notes at www.mbomyoga.com. Everything is written out there so you can take notes, you can copy and paste it, so you've got everything right there. And then as Nate mentioned, make sure you head on over to Yoga Business Badasses. There's a link in the show notes. You can also go to facebook.com/groups/yogabusinessbadasses or just search Yoga Business Badasses in the search bar and it'll come up to get that free offering that he's talking about. It's going to be super awesome. So definitely go check it out. As always, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you go and subscribe to the podcast. If you enjoy the show, a review would be super, super, super helpful so that more people can find it. You can find me on social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And that's it. I'll see you next week. Bye now.